The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 139, from financial planning to financial doing. In our industry, there is a lot of focus in how we train financial planners with respect to there being an organized financial planning process. And it's important to have a good financial plan and a good process for doing that. So what is generally taught at the collegiate level with respect to what that process is, and if you go on a number of financial planning websites, they'll all kind of spew the same idea. Step one, you're going to establish a trusting relationship. Once you have a trust relationship, a la you agree on what you're doing, you're going to have a contract probably by that point. Then you're supposed to collect the client's personal information. Then you're going to set up some goals. You're going to do an analysis of that situation. And then after you do that analysis, you're going to say, well, here is the plan. This is what we're going to do. Then we're going to implement that plan. And then we're going to watch, you know, how things go and monitor it and provide feedback and so on. And that is how they see and frankly teach this, what financial planning constitutes. My big issue with this structure of we're going to gather this information, we're going to set some goals, we're going to do this analysis, and here's your big plan, is that it isn't realistic with the fact that you have to try to live life and do stuff and things will come up in the midst of all of this going on. So if the goal is, well, we're going to collect all this information, and I think that information gathering step's pretty important, and we actually dedicate in our process a considerable amount of time to that right from the get-go. But in terms of setting goals and doing this analysis, one of my key issues with all of this is that sometimes when people start working on their finances, their goals change. So if you've gone ahead at the beginning and said, these are my goals, and then you go ahead and start digging into some of the finances, in many cases, what those goals are, they shift. Either new goals are found, or goals that we thought were a higher priority are actually a lower priority, or vice versa. So right away, our process has taken a very weird turn, and it isn't this like exact sort of a science anymore in terms of, well, you set this, and then this, and then, and it sounds so linear and simple, until the fact is that human beings are neither linear nor simple by and large. So then we're going to go ahead and do this analysis. An analysis, first of all, involves typically a pretty large amount of data points in order to do a complete analysis of a household. But I'd also argue that a complete analysis of a household isn't entirely required in order to get started on certain activities. For example, do I have to know a client's insurance situation to look at their spending and go, you know, we probably ought to see how you behave with your money a little bit first and see what other foundational things, even before looking at more advanced topics, makes sense. So now again, we're adding more steps of watching how someone behaves, working on those kind of base behaviors before digging into more advanced topics. And that also makes sense. That we start with something that is more concrete, how money is saved, where money is saved, how money is behaved, and so on, before then trying to tackle more complicated topics. The other part of this too is, so let's say we go through their process and say, we're going to collect all this information. Here's this analysis. Here is this plan. And now you've got a plan that's got a pile of to-dos. And again, the problem with pile of to-dos is that most people, even in their heart of hearts, would love to be able to take that list, just work that thing on down, start to finish, and we're good to go. Problem is, life happens. And the to-dos are not always things that can be done in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour or even a day. Some of these to-dos can take a while. Shopping for insurance, for example, is not a one-call-fits-all approach. You should be checking with multiple carriers. There's probably a discussion of what coverages make the most sense. What are we trying to protect? Why are we trying to protect it? And how are we going to transfer risk? What is most important here? And what levels of risk defense are we comfortable with? That isn't always a clear cut and dry answer. So there's some discussion involved. And then even after you do that one thing needs to be reviewed periodically. Who beneficiaries are, making sure that coverages still make sense, making sure that, depending on the type of policy, you may be shopping rates periodically as well. So it's not something you just set and forget. It's something you set and then periodically are going to review. Except I would also argue that it's going to happen with your spending and saving. That's what's going to happen with your investments. That's going to happen with every aspect of your financial life. So the problem I see in this planning process is we get to that step where we're going to implement this plan, but the whole process is turned into this giant list of to-dos turns into a couple things. One, it turns into a massive document with usually a bunch of tables and graphs that don't matter. Because honestly, if you're in your 30s and you're looking at some retirement projection, there's a lot that can happen even in 5 years' time, let alone 20 years' time, 30 years' time. It's silly, and I would say borderline unethical, to sit there and create a graph and then tell a client, oh yeah, you're in your 30s, but by the time you're 60, you're going to have tens of millions of dollars, If I go and run an analysis on all of our clients sub 40 years of age, that's pretty much what we would get out of every Monte Carlo simulation is you'll be somewhere between broke and a 100 millionaire. And that's not a terribly useful exercise. And that's one of the other problems of this is that you get this plan, it's big, it's hulking. It doesn't actually serve the client all that well. It doesn't serve us trying to actually implement anything. Let alone set any real priorities, what do we need to do first here? And so when I think about financial planning and we think about, it can't just be about the plan. And I know we're financial planners and we work to build a plan, but the plan doesn't mean anything if you don't execute it. Like you have the most perfect plan in the whole world, and if you don't do it, it didn't matter. It was worthless. 0 points, no credit. Because at the end of the day, where you actually get credit for work is for doing work. And showing to someone this is the answer, but then not following up with the steps required to do it, that's insufficient. That's incomplete. And so when they look at the last step, their last step in their process is monitor and review the plan. Okay, but this suggests, again, this very linear path of we're going to collect all the things, we're going to digest all the things at once, and then we're going to process it, and the client's going to go and do all the things. Except if I'm educated about, informed by any other aspect of coaching and preparing and doing things, we know that doesn't tend to work out well. For example, if you go to the gym one time and work with a trainer, and that trainer shows you a set of exercises, it's not go forth and do likewise and I'm going to see you in 6 months. It's go forth and work on this stuff and I'll see you next week or maybe later that week or what have you. I don't know many trainers that sit there, give a person a regimen and say, see you in 6 months. Well, why don't they? Because, our bodies change as we build new muscles and do stuff, but we can also injure ourselves if we do stuff wrong. So having feedback, having a program that, you know, having someone that not only is looking at your now, but thinking about your future and making adjustments and helping you correct your form or whatever it is, makes that progress stronger, faster, and so forth. So you're not just, you know, following this person's lead, but you're taking that feedback and even improving at the training that you're doing. And the result of that is you do better. Similarly, college students who go and take, for example, calculus, if you have the choice between taking a 4-hour course one night a week or taking 1 hour of that course a day every day, you know, 4 hours a week, but one, you know, on four separate days, it should be no surprise that the course with the students who are approaching the topic 4 days a week tended to perform better when it came to tests and quizzes, because instead of trying to cram all that work at once and not retain a good chunk of it, instead they're breaking it up in a way where they're seeing the material on a consistent basis, they're taking it in smaller portions, that leads to you getting more practice and having more, you know, more of an opportunity to process information and do this thing, and no surprise, that led to increased mastery. This is not, you know, so then thinking about financial planning again, we can crank the faucet out and give you the whole plan at once, but what are the odds that that actually gets fully implemented correctly and we don't trip over ourselves along the way? And mind you, while this is all going on, life is still happening. The world's dynamic. Our finances are dynamic. We could be, you sit there, and by the time we built the plan, someone could have lost a job already, where we could have been working on building base stuff. Like if emergency savings weren't there, then why are we waiting until this whole plan is complete to get started with some basic stuff? Like, hey, you don't have enough saved in emergency savings and we need to pay down debt. It doesn't take a full-on financial plan to recognize those very basic needs and go, yeah, we're probably starting right there. And it doesn't need to go through, and the rest of this process, it's not to say it abandons the process, but it says it's much more of a give and take between client and planner and working through topics in bite-sized chunks where things actually get looked at, digested, understood, and acted upon. And that's why we don't do things like project-based planning, where we're going to build a financial plan, spit it out to you, go forth, hope all goes well, see you next year. Because it doesn't speak well to the plan when clients ultimately don't implement it or implement it entirely. They, you know, you see someone implement a plan in part and it doesn't work out well, and then it's like, well, it's their fault. They created this plan and I did some of the things on it and it didn't work. Well, of course it didn't, because you didn't implement the entire plan. I remember a job I previously had where I was consulting for a business. I had given them 10 different points of things to work on to improve their business. They cherry-picked 3 of them. And when they picked the 3 that they liked or agreed with, and those 3 didn't work by themselves, I was blamed for, well, the plan didn't work, Stephen. And my thought was, you did 3 of the 10 things. No wonder the plan didn't work. And I'd say they probably picked the lowest hanging fruit and the least impactful of the 10 things, at least expensive too, for that matter. But at the end of the day, yeah, if you're cherry picking what you're most comfortable with, instead of looking at the whole of what we're trying to accomplish, then and then yeah, you're not implementing the full plan. You can't expect the full plan's result. And so to that end, this is the big takeaway in all of this is that while it's great to have a financial, you know, and certainly there should be a process of analysis from ground up, from basics involving cash position, spending and saving and so forth, and where cash flows are going, on up to more advanced topics that start to get into risk management, wealth building, and so on. That all happening at the same time is not a requirement. I think it is easier for people to tackle these ideas and fully understand them one by one by one, and let's dig down into a topic until everyone understands what's going on, the decision-making for why it's going on, and then implementing that thing. Let's, you know, instead of just planning to the test or planning to, you know, working to get to the plan, let's teach the mastery. Let's get this topic solved. And let's, and not just solved in the sense of we have a solution, but then actually getting that solution implemented and then moving on to another activity. And that's where our practice has seen a lot more success with clients, is that approach and that consistency of looking at that data together. And so it's the other part of it, too, is that we don't meet with clients quarterly, typically, or semi-annually, or any of that. We're meeting every single month. Why do we meet every single month? Because if everything life-wise and future-wise is dependent on your finances, surely it's worth an hour a month to sit down and look over it together and make sure you're on track and answer questions. And some of those meetings are, you know, frankly, they don't have to go the full hour. They're not the most exciting, but some of them are. And a lot of times exciting means something unexpected occurred. Unexpected could be a substantial raise or a job promotion or an offer. Exciting could also mean a new child on the way, or you know, maybe there's a parent that's retiring, or something going on. And sometimes they can be unexpected, not so good things. A bad health diagnosis, or a job loss, or an injury, or something happens that changes those circumstances where, boy, if we, you know, if you're just fixated on that one plan, well, the plan just went out the window because circumstances changed in a big way. With regular conversations, no, we're not going to re-go through that process. We know where you're at, and we could immediately, nimbly move and help you take action that's going to be most constructive, including, in some cases, a lack of action where, okay, you lost the job, but hey, you know, you prepared the last several months and built up strong emergency savings. No, you do not have to go and look, you know, just take any job that comes your way. You can look for the next job in your career. That was one of the big testing points when COVID hit, was my big question was, how many of our clients are going to have to tap into their 401ks or tap into their investment accounts in order to get through, you know, what could be a long layer of unemployment. And for some of our clients, it took them 6, 7, 8, 9 months to find that next job in their career. But I'm happy to say the number of clients that had to tap into those resources was zero. None. We were prepared for that in spades. And obviously, it certainly helps when there are severance packages and, you know, increased unemployment and stimulus and stuff like that definitely helped in some of those cases to a degree. But the bottom line is our clients were also really well prepared. But we're not just talking about downside risk when downside things occur. We're talking about downside risk year round. We're concerned and we're attentive to the things we can't see that might happen to us year round. We're attentive to how investments are performing, how savings is doing. Are there ways we can improve this machine that's going on? And you got to live daily life as well. And sometimes, you know, living life also has to take a priority, you know, and maybe priority shift when it comes to saving money. You know, where maybe early on you really need to save very aggressively because there's not a lot of defense. And later on, maybe there's a healthier, you know, or a different balance in savings that allows for some vacation fund too. These are all priorities, and we have needs now and we have needs in the future, and balancing all that. Again, it's dynamic. Our priorities change as time goes on, so the plan needs to change with it. And again, are we going to keep going through this like linear static process of, well, I guess we got to gather everything all over again, and then we got to set goals all over again, and then we got to do this full analysis all over again? That doesn't make much sense to me. What makes more sense is taking these things topic by topic, keeping in mind the big picture when approaching these things, and having a habitual cadence of looking at the wide range of financial topics that exist over the course of a year, so that, you know, no one month or no quarter or anything is like, this is where all the work gets done. But instead being able to spread that out and be taking advantage of the fact that 12 months a year, we're thinking about our finances, not just once a year or once a quarter or what have you. And I think that's some of the best risk management. So when it's not that you lay awake at night, it's quite the opposite. It's because you have these you know, set times of, you know, where you look at this stuff consistently, it frees you up to not have to worry about it the rest of the time. You just know this is the time where I'm going to look at things. And that's that time to do it. When it's not that time, go do other stuff. Have fun. But if this stuff is that important to your future, why wouldn't you want it in front of you consistently? That I will not understand. But so to that end, you know, as much as the financial plan surely is important, it's a framework, we also have to do the thing. And I think having a person there consistently to look out for your best interests, to watch what's going on, to help you stay accountable to what your goals and what those to-dos are, but to have those to-dos come in a fashion that's actually digestible and achievable and realistic. We're starting to get into SMART goals real fast. Specific recommendations, measurable, that we know what we're doing, actionable or achievable, that this thing can be done, that's realistic with where you're at right now, and in being done in a timely fashion. And granted, investing itself is very much a long-term game, but are you putting in money consistently, whether that's your 401k, your IRA, Roth IRA, or your brokerage account or whatever? How is that sized with everything? And are you doing those things consistently? Are you allocating in that HSA consistently? You know, whatever it is, are those things in place? And over time, as other needs crop up, how are we going to adjust those to account for, hey, we're going to need a new car in the next year, or we're probably 2 years away from a new roof on our house. Well, we got to squeeze that in too. That doesn't require redoing the entire financial plan. What it does mean is taking a look at the existing one and making adjustments. And so, but those adjustments happen often enough where you're going to want consistent information to be able to advise on acting, as opposed to having to go through the whole process over again. So financial planning has to be more than just about financial planning. It has to be about, originally, yes, we need to have an idea of where you're at right now and where ultimately you want to be going, short, medium, long term. But then we have to actually financially do things. We have to make decisions, and then we have to act on those decisions to get that better result for the long run. And that's where our approach and our process comes in, which goes beyond just, here is this linear, we're going to set some goals, we're going to ship you off, and good luck. No. Let's break this thing down into bite-sized parts, and let's work together month by month by month, activity by activity, topic by topic, and not just implementing things, but periodically reviewing those things as well. Keeping this in front of your mind 12 months a year means you're going to be making better, hopefully making better decisions 12 months a year. And I think that's where we've seen such strength and of progress, and frankly, where clients that have the most success have this stuff in front of them the most consistently. So when you're looking at, why we do things the way we do them, where you're looking and maybe you're comparing financial planners and going, there are different ways of doing this. And this isn't to say this should fit absolutely everyone, but I think it is undeniable that when people have consistent coaching and goals and a structure for working on anything in life, any skill, any activity, any whatever, that putting in good work consistently lends to more consistent results than making these great strides of effort once a year, once every other year or whatever, and ultimately a stronger, longer-term result. And so that would be my challenge to you, is to not just think about your finances and, I need financial planning, but thinking about working with people that will also support you in financial doing. Because a plan by itself is worthless. A plan plus action is what actually gets you results. So work with people that are financial doers and not just financial planners. And that's what we do here at our firm, at Briggs Financial. With that, I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Check out all 139 episodes on our website at BriggsWealth.com. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, where there are two. But yeah, check it out on your favorite place, subscribe, and get this set, pushed to you as we get new content and new episodes going. I want to thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Be safe. Be well. And I'll catch you with a fresh episode soon. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.